In a world filled with big sports companies and high-end production podcasts, comes a group of guys who paid $5 for this intro. Welcome to Eat, Sleep, Fantasy.
I'm in my zone, no lie. And we like to play till the sun go down. Yeah, we like to play till the sun go down. And we take that town, and we take that town.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back to another episode of Eat, Sleep, Fantasy. I'm Christian Brito. We're going to be switching it up to a very interesting podcast today. Joining me tonight is one of our writers, Mr. Michael Huff. I really hope I said your last name right, because if I didn't. But it's Mike. What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Not much, man. Been waiting to get on here with you. Yeah, just watching a little bit of this Thursday night football and, you know, sad we can't have Dale here with us, but, you know, we'll make the most of it.
Are you really sad, though? Because not really.
A little bit. I mean, I would enjoy the awkwardness.
Oh. Well, you'll get plenty of that right now, so. That's what you got me for, man.
Sorry.
We really want to get out some of Mike's information to you guys. He writes a great article on our site every week, a Stardom article. He's also a writer for Gridiron Experts. Tell him a little bit about what you do for us and Gridiron Experts.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much as you said. I mean, for you guys, it's the Stardom column. You know, I'm gonna start integrating actually Situm as well. But yeah, just kind of getting that out there. And I'm usually always wrong on defense, so just FYI, be forewarned. And then with Gridiron Experts, I'm doing the Thursday night preview. And then if I ever have a stroke of genius and write some other random articles, they'll throw it up there every now and again. But that's about it.
All right, man. Mike has been pretty integral in helping our show, especially as of late with a lot of the website management. And we just want to give a lot of credit to Mike for helping our podcast grow. Through social media and stuff like that. So we got him joining our show tonight. So what we want to give you guys, what we want to provide you, you know, while Mike is already half drunk through Thursday night football.
Right, right.
If I didn't have to work tomorrow, man, I'd be there.
All right, fair enough.
So this is kind of boring. Brian Hoyer looks like he's going to be missing quite a bit of time with an arm injury, suspected broken arm. At this point, I'm sure he'll have some tests on that tomorrow, but broken. I'm pretty sure he has a broken arm.
Against the guy in my league of record, it's a two quarterback league. So he's got Hoyer going. He's got Aaron Rodgers. He's got Don Jackson going. And he's got Cameron Meredith going. So I'm having a pretty good Thursday night. So,
all right. So Mike, let's actually go ahead and get into some of these starts. We're going to be giving them straight off of your column, some of these starts of the week. I'm also going to be giving my major keys. I'm not going to do that segment again. That was awful. I'm just going to call it starts.
I was going to say, by the way, the muy importante, that grew on me the second time around. So we should check for the reviews when they come around the second time.
What we do know, and we do know as a fact now, is that Mad Men is not a fucking top five show.
No, it's not. It's really, I'll be honest. I watched three seasons of that. And it's not bad, but it's definitely not top five. I'm not a big TV guy, but Breaking Bad for me is number one.
Yeah. You know, I know we're doing this kind of off the top, man, but can you give me straight off the dome your top five shows of all time?
Top five shows of all time. I mean, obviously Breaking Bad, as I said. I think I would go All in the Family, which is a wild card. People wouldn't expect that. It's an old... All right. You had mentioned The Office yesterday. I like The Office, but I like the British version of The Office.
Okay.
So there's that one. And see, I don't watch a lot of TV. That's my problem.
Mm.
I mean,
you're the movie guy.
Yeah, pretty much. So.
All right. So that's three.
Yeah, that's three. I mean, if I think of two more over the course of the podcast, I'll just randomly throw them out there like Tourette's. So.
I mean, if it was, judging by your accent, I felt like you would say like The Sopranos, Boardwalk Empire. That's just me being an asshole.
Fun. Hey, you know, you're in good company then. So,
I mean, The Office, Breaking Bad, not going to argue with you there. Can't go down the All in the Family road, but like I tweeted today, you always got to add like maybe a cheesy show. So I put like Survivor just missed my top five, because that's kind of the show you watch to kind of just sit back and not really think. You just want to be entertained for a little bit.
Well, actually, I would put Entourage in there, actually, in my top five. Nah.
Very nice. Okay.
I was a big Entourage guy.
Now it's kind of rounding out a little bit. So
there you go.
That's better. All right, man. Let's get into your starts. First start at quarterback. Who's your start this week?
Well, this week I like Phillip Rivers quite a bit. That Falcons defense is... That Falcon defense has been pretty bad. I actually think that's going to be a pretty high-scoring game on both ends. I mean, he had just 178 yards and a touchdown against the Broncos, but before that, he was just rolling out with a 300-yard game. So
right.
I'm going to look for that to continue this week.
Yeah, I mean, Falcons are allowing the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They've allowed the fifth most yards. They've already allowed 14 passing touchdowns on the year. I mean, pretty much every defensive stat against quarterbacks has been really bad so far this year. So
it's kind of crazy because the average person would just assume that everything's going all right over there in Atlanta because they're playing so well. But really, when you take a close look at their defense, it's really been a shit show.
Yep, and I mean, that's really just a bigger credit to their offense, a much improved offensive line, two very nice, you know, weapons out of the backfield to kind of complement each other. So, but yeah, man, that defense, especially against the pass, has been horrendous. So I am fully with you this week on Phillip Rivers being a great start. In daily, I know a lot of people don't like to spend all that much money on quarterbacks in daily, but this is a guy that I would would definitely do that for, because there's certain options every week, matchup based, that you can afford to play a little bit extra on. I know people don't like to do it for the quarterbacks, but I like Phillip Rivers there. I'm gonna give you my start here, and I know it might have people a little iffy, because coming into the week, he hasn't been that great so far this season. But that's Blake Bortles, right? He's not been great so far. But that has a lot to do with more the actual NFL with lots of turnovers. He does have already two games out of his first five over 300 yards, three out of the five over 270. Touchdowns haven't been all there, but he's got three multi-touchdown games already. I think this is the game that it really clicks for Blake Bortles, going playing at home against Oakland this week. I think it's a great matchup. Oakland has allowed the fifth most fantasy points to quarterbacks. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they've allowed the most passing yards. Yeah, 1,900 passing yards already. They've allowed the most passing yards to quarterbacks. So how are you feeling about Blake Bortles there this week?
No, I like that quite a bit. And, you know, he's kind of, he hasn't had these eye-popping, numbers, like with the Matt Ryans of the world. But it's kind of like you were just reading off. He's just kind of flying under the radar. And I think a nice little cushy opponent like this can maybe propel him into, getting back into the discussion of the top fantasy quarterbacks in the league. So, I mean, especially with that, with those 1,900 yards, I mean, yeah, why not, right?
Yeah, I've got him right now going for me this week on DraftKings, and I'm feeling pretty comfortable about it. And I've paired him with another start of mine this week at wide receiver, Allen Robinson. This all started because I think it's going to be a tremendous Allen Robinson week this week. I've got A-Rob in my top five this week. He hasn't necessarily done anything this year so far to deserve it. But, again, the Oakland Raider defense against quarterbacks have been horrendous, so you would expect it to be the same against wide receivers. And, of course, they've allowed the second most fantasy points to wide receivers this year.
and the most yards again.
Yep. I mean, they've been putrid against wide receivers this year. Really, they can't stop anybody. And I love Allen Robinson this week. I'm spending whatever it takes to get him on my DraftKings lineup at this point. I love him. How comfortable do you feel with Allen Robinson? Because, again, the resume hasn't been there so far this year.
No, it hasn't. But, you know, this happens every now and again with – you have these certain kind of ways with these fantasy guys where they'll either be these guys that have these lost years and they just fall into the abyss. But then you have these guys that for whatever reason, as a team, it takes a little bit to wake up. And, you know, I think we're kind of alluding to all that now, talking in depth about the Jaguars. I just think that can all come together for them, you know, because Bortles is going to go hand in hand with Robinson, just like how you're talking about stacking it. So, yeah, I think it's a great start. I think it's a good play. I'm actually a little jealous.
Yep. All right, so who you got?
Fantasy roster yet, so.
It's fine. Don't waste your money.
Yeah, well, wait a minute.
Well, I mean in a league with me. I mean, well, playing a different league.
All right, fine.
Just fucking with you, man. Last week was a bad week for me, but out of the 2 weeks I've participated in our ESF league, the first week was good. I got first place, but last week was not good, man. Not like all around. You want to talk about what happened in Listener League? Because it was that happened everywhere except for one of my leagues.
Yeah, I kind of blew your doors open out of there. Yeah, you know, in the Listener League. I still don't know what happened with that whole Fleener thing. You know, I fell asleep and I didn't have Fleener. I woke up and I had him.
Listen, I don't want to disparage any website or anything. So. My fault. I guess I didn't set something up properly or something. I had a waiver claim in for Fleener. I was ahead in the priority over you. I don't know what I could have messed up, but you got him. I didn't. And that ended up being a huge point difference, but it was not the deciding factor because I got blown the fuck out. I really did.
You know, I mean, I had Beckham. Obviously, we all know Beckham had a good game, finally. Yep. And then, I mean, I was waiting on Tom Brady, so, and now I got a plethora of good quarterbacks. I've got Tom Brady, Derek Carr, and Matt Ryan. So, you know, I got a lot of points sitting on my bench right now.
Well, that seems like, you probably don't need all three. So if you want to just drop one, let me know.
I've been trying to field offers to all these people in the Listener League, but, you know, they're all too timid. So,
all right, listen, man. We're gonna try something out right now, okay?
Oh sure, let's do it.
All right. If it doesn't work, whatever. We'll take it out of the pod. I don't know. What do you want for Matt Ryan?
All right.
Who's the cheapest quarterback on your team? Is it Matt Ryan or Derek Carr?
Well, I mean Derek Carr, I guess, but I mean I'm willing to drop either one of them. Yeah, whichever one you want. See, I just assumed when I was looking at potential trades, you had, you know, and understandably so, but you had that hard on for Russell Wilson. So
yeah, I still believe Russell Wilson's going to come back later this season.
Right.
It's just the last 2 years all over again, man. Where the first half of the season is rocky. It looks exactly like last year. And then at around week 8 last year is when he turned it on. And I've kind of, like, I'm expecting the same exact thing, but who knows? Like, if it continues for another week or two, I've got to make a switch. I'm doing okay in most of my leagues. Listener League's actually my worst league at 3-3. and then I got him in my league of record. I'm at 4-2, but not necessarily feeling super great about it.
The only problem I had with people being high on Wilson in the preseason was so many people were high on Wilson, and they said that passing attack was going to be a real thing, and he was going to be, you know, top three quarterback, so on and so forth. But then at the same time, everybody was saying that the run game was going to be huge. And I just felt like something was going to fall off there, either the passing game or the running game. So,
you know,
yeah.
To be honest, I think I attribute a whole lot of this to him being injured, because we've never seen Russell Wilson be injured in his whole career.
Absolutely.
And clearly, he's been very limited. I mean, he's rushed less than he ever has in his entire career through the first six games. Well, five games, because they had their bye already. Him getting injured has a lot to do with that O-line being a mess. And
I was going to say, I think if he gave the Seahawks front office some truth serum, I think they tell you that they would never do that Jimmy Graham for Max Unger trade. Because I think that was kind of the beginning of the end for that offensive line. And listen, I know Graham's been doing great this year. He really has. But, right. Yeah, you know, I think that was kind of the beginning of the downfall for their offensive line.
Yep. Still, I see better things coming. And as I've talked my way through this, I no longer want a quarterback.
Well, are you sure?
Pretty sure. I'm sorry.
All right. Listen, if you change your mind, yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, my top two quarterbacks right now, I adjust my ranks a lot because I'm very narcissistic about it. I adjust my ranks. They lock at 1 p.m. for the week. I adjust my ranks until 12:58 p.m. Like moving and tweaking. But the good thing is, never mind. I'm not going to go down that route. I haven't had a below average week yet this season. So, and that's compared with the 140 some odd rankers, you know.
Listen.
Doing pretty well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you could boast a bit. It's all good.
A little bit. Sucking my own dick a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, you know, something like that.
Definitely going to put that drop right here. So let's get back into the starts, man. We got off on a wacky tangent there, man.
It's all right. It's, you know, entertaining at the very least, hopefully, maybe. Yeah. Probably not.
So where were we? Your wide receiver start of the week is?
Mine's Amari Cooper. So we're going to have some guns blazing in that Jaguar Raider game. So
that is probably my lock for highest scoring game of the week. Like, I bet the over on that game. This is going to, I already foresee it's going to be like a 6-3 game. No, definitely. Yeah. I'm going to be tuned into this game. I'm probably going to have a lot of these guys going in daily. Very, very intrigued by a lot of these players. Tell me why Cooper's the value here, and what do you like about him this week?
Well, you know, I just love the connection that's going on right now. I mean, Cooper and Crabtree right now combined have the highest total of yards for a wide receiver duo in the NFL right now, and I think it's going to be kind of a seesaw between. There's going to be great games for Crabtree. There's going to be great games for Cooper, but I feel like Cooper has been heating up lately, and he's had three 100-yard games a season, and I mean Cameron Meredith last week was what, 11 receptions for 113 yards, so I mean that, mm-hmm. that Jacksonville defense, I mean they're pretty good at giving up the pass yards themselves. So,
yep, they've allowed the ninth most fantasy points to wide receivers, it really seems after the first few weeks it's starting to shift more and more towards the Cooper side of things and not the Crabtree side of things. I still kind of like Crabtree this week too. I think it's a good matchup for him as well against those Jags corners, but I mean, I think Cooper's just going to eat this week, have a great week. So another good call there if you want to go expensive on your wide receivers, which for me is usually a very, very good option in daily, especially DraftKings. If you're going to go full PPR, I really like the idea of Cooper with Robinson. I think I have that in one of my lineups with Bortles. So Cooper with Robinson. If you prefer Carr, that might be another guy that you might want to pay for because, again, Jags aren't great against the pass.
Nope. No, sir.
They're not great at anything.
Definitely not.
All right, so let's transition here, Mike, to some running backs. Who do you have as some starting suggestions here at running back?
It's probably gonna be one of the most unpopular picks that I have this week, but I like Jeremy Hill against the Browns. I own him in a couple leagues, so I can feel the frustration, but
right.
You know, I mean, his last three opponents had given up the 7th, 8th, and 14th fewest fantasy points to running backs. So, I mean, now he's gonna have a little bit of an easier matchup against the Browns here. And I will also mention, just as a completely irrelevant sidebar, today is his birthday. So, I mean, maybe a little bit of birthday luck this weekend. But that's what you have to go on when you get that kind of output from Hill. You got to hope on his birthday luck. So,
listen, I mean, he's a guy that if he scores, you're happy.
Right.
And if he scores twice, you're super happy. I definitely see a scenario where Jeremy Hill scores twice this weekend.
And, you know, I know it's a short sample size, but over his career, he plays the best when he plays against the Browns. So, you know, so you got that going for you, too. And after that, actually, it's the Broncos who he plays the best against. He's had three touchdowns against both of those teams, which, if you remember, he had the two earlier this season against the Broncos, which he was on my bench at that time. So,
of course, mine as well. So, and I own him in two leagues as well. I have him in the
frustrating play all year long, but I've got a hunch this week, and I don't know. I like him. I think he can pull it off. So,
in your honorable mentions at running back, Mike is the guy that for me is my start of the week, and is my romantic love at the running back position, and that's Devonta Freeman. I love that guy, man. I just like watching him play. It's so enjoyable. And then when Tevin Coleman comes into the game, I want to throw my remote. And it's like, I put on my stank-ass face whenever Tevin Coleman's in the game because Tevin Coleman's also a very talented running back. So Atlanta has been lucky enough to have two very good running backs in their backfield. But they're playing the Chargers this week, man. And the Chargers are one of the worst teams against the run. 5th most fantasy points allowed, man.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah, they've given up, and that's been they've given up 7 rushing touchdowns, and they've given up 2 receiving. So, and we all know that the Falcons' backfield likes to catch the passes. If you remember that glorious Monday night game against the Saints.
Yep. So, not only have they given that up, dude, but they've already given up 416 receiving yards to running backs so far this season, right? Like that's second most, only of course to the Falcons, who have been just really bad against.
And that's my pick for what's going to be one of the highest scoring games of the weekend. So
yeah,
I don't mind that at all. You know, if you got Tevin Coleman, he's another guy. Like, I'm okay playing Tevin Coleman as well. I think Devonta Freeman this week.
Okay, just like you said, I hate when I see him running out there.
I think he's a flex play this week at the very least, and Freeman's a RB1 this week. So if not an RB1 and an RB2 combo this week, I really like them both. But Freeman is, for me, my start of the week at the running back position. I forgot to mention some of your honorable mentions here on your column. So at wide receiver, I mean, you had Amari Cooper. You also had Allen Robinson, who was my guy. So, let's move into the tight end position. Your start of the week is actually one of my starts of the week, and that's Mr. Cameron Brate. Tell us why Cameron Brate's gonna be great.
Well, Cameron Brate's gonna be great. That sounds like a campaign slogan.
Vote Brate for president.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'll take him over the other ones. So, but yeah, I mean, 49ers have been absolutely horrible on defense, especially ever since they lost Bowman. I mean, they're giving up, what, about 2 touchdown passes a week, I believe. And when you talk about now Vincent Jackson being out, I think that's going to open the door for Brake to get more involved. So especially because it seems like Winston's having a bit of a tough time every now and again. So I think he's going to – those extra targets from Jackson are going to start to lean on to Brake, and I think we'll see that this weekend.
To me, the biggest beneficiary, exactly what you just said, the biggest beneficiary of Vincent Jackson being out, aside from Mike Evans getting even more targets than he's getting, and you know, Adam Humphrey is getting a little bit of a bump, obviously, because he's going to be that number two now. To me, the biggest beneficiary is Cameron Brait coming into this offense. So, I mean, San Francisco, it's not allowing necessarily a ton of points to the tight end position, but they're allowing an above average amount, so about 8 points per game to the tight end position. I really like that call there. And if you want to spend a little more than normal this week on the tight end position, I'm all in on Travis Kelce against the Saints. I think he's going to have a fantastic week against that defense. So
forget about Hunter Henry versus the Falcons too. That can be a pretty good matchup as well, as Falcons have given up, what I believe, 5 touchdowns against the tight end. So
the one other kind of, you know, under the radar, pay attention to what's happening for the tight end position with Cincinnati, because who knows whether or not Eifert's going to play this weekend. He's been practicing and kind of trending that way.
Yeah, they say it's been going well. So
it's been going well. And the Cleveland Browns are the absolute worst team against tight ends. They're allowing...
Everybody jumped in that Delanie Walker train last week, and that all that blew up in our faces.
Yeah, that's fine, but let's remember what Andy Dalton does with Tyler Eifert. A quarter of Tyler Eifert's catches last year were for touchdowns, which is absurd.
Really is, you know. And he was one of my tight ends that I was down on. I remember one of the first pieces I had written for you guys, I had ranked tight ends, and I put him pretty low because he's so touchdown dependent. Then I thought with the change of the offensive coordinator. But I think at this point, I mean, the Bengal offense has had a little bit of trouble getting points, so I think Dalton's going to see dollar signs when he sees Eifert get back in that huddle. So I think they'll pick up right where they left off.
The unfortunate thing is, in all likelihood, if Eifert's back, he's probably going to be limited. So Eifert's going to come down to really being a dart throw if he is out there, because he's probably going to be limited coming in back in his first week. So
yeah,
wouldn't necessarily be fully, you know, all in on Eifert, but it just, he's an interesting guy if Eifert really is back to being ready. I mean, he's taking his sweet ass time to come back, so
can't rush perfection, I guess, right? You know.
Oh man.
We should also keep an eye on Jordan Reed out there. I'm not quite sure how that's going right now, but if you get Vernon Davis back out there, I mean, the Lions as well are not good against the tight end. So I mean, they've given up. I mean, they haven't given up a ton of yards, but they've given up 6 touchdowns as well, just like the Browns have and just like the Panthers have. So there's points to be had there. So
fair enough. And you've got Hunter Henry on this list. I think Hunter Henry is really coming to his own. You rarely see that with a rookie tight end. He's a guy that if you're in any sort of keeper or dynasty league, man, be real happy to keep him on your team, because the instances of tight ends having big rookie years is a rarity. Like, the last guy that did it was Rob Gronkowski.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. And this has been a rough year for tight ends. So if you can get a hold of somebody like Henry that is playing at the level that he is, I mean, he's playing so well that, I mean, you know, they're trying to work Gates back in, but, you know, there's no real rush with Henry playing the way that he is. So
absolutely,
he's definitely a nice find.
All right, let's breeze by the part that you're not good at. I'm just kidding, man. The defenses. Who you got starting at defense this week?
This week, damn it, I swear. This week I'm going to hit it. This week I'm going to hit it. I picked the Ravens because they are playing the Jets, and the Jets are a mess. You know, so What was it? That combined, the Jets as a team combined have 12 interceptions on the year, and right now the Ravens have about 8, I believe. So, I mean, it's Geno Smith. How much actual analysis do you need here? You know, it's Geno Smith, and then if Geno Smith gets taken out, it's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick, whose confidence is completely shattered now after the, you know, after the starts that he has. What was it, 9 interceptions in 2 weeks he had?
I mean, right. Absolutely ridiculous.
You know, and now you have Forte, who isn't playing well now. He's come back down to where you were saying he was going to be, or actually less than. That offense, I mean, for the Jets, it's going to be a little bit of a while before they can get back on solid ground, and I just think this is going to be easy for the Ravens to do.
Yep. Forte has been kind of the everything I thought Frank Gore would be. And Frank Gore, I mean, how can I doubt the man?
He's about 566 yards from 1,000, I believe, right around there, right around 560, you know.
He's going to get a ton of work this weekend because the Colts have no idea what's going on with all the injuries at their wide receiver position. Keep an eye out because, I mean, T.Y. Hilton's probably going to be questionable for this weekend. They're obviously already missing Moncrief. So, with that being said, at defense, a defense that I think the Ravens are a great call, Mike. If I had to go a little deeper, a couple of teams that I think you can stream, one is the Titans. With all those injuries, I don't know who Luck's going to throw it to, man. Like, really. And that O-line has been terrible. They just keep giving up sack after sack. They're really like, they're running Frank Gore into the ground. He's not happy about it.
Well, listen, he probably is, because I'm telling you, he was not happy about just coming short of 1,000 yards last year. So, but again, listen, I mean, I could be the biggest Frank Gore supporter I want. They're going to have to be able to get that ball through the air, because, I mean, he's only going to be able to get so many carries. So, but yeah, absolutely. But that's no, the Titans are a good pick. And plus, I mean, that team is starting to come together now, the Titans over there, quietly, over the last 2 weeks. Yep.
And then one call that I've seen, I'm usually the biggest anti-homer against the Dolphins that there is. But I've seen a lot of people saying the Bills are a good streaming defense this week at Miami. I'm all the way on the other side of this. I'm not saying the Dolphins turned a corner. What I'm saying is, for the first time in a long time, their offensive line is healthy. Okay, give me 1 second so I can pull up exactly the information that I want to give you. Okay, here we go. Over the last 2 years, when Brandon Albert, Juwan James, and Mike Pouncey are all three playing a game, in the 8 instances that's happened, the Dolphins are 7-1. They average 156 rushing yards per game. That's been the third best of any team over that span. They're a completely different offense when those guys are healthy. They're all healthy. We saw what they did last week with those guys healthy, with Jay Ajayi rushing for 200 yards. And Omar Kelly, a beat reporter for the Dolphins, he was saying it. He was like, these guys are finally healthy. Look for Ryan Tannehill to finally have some more time. Look for the Dolphins to be able to run the ball more effectively and get into a Gase offense. The problem is those guys are rarely all healthy together. So Brandon Albert's out of history of injuries, Juwan James has, and Mike Pouncey for the first time actually has been, he missed several games already to start this season. So, but they're finally all healthy. I'm typically the beat the drum against the Dolphins type of guy, but this is not a game that I would feel comfortable playing the Bills.
All right. You know, and listen, I mean, with this whole, everything's kind of uncertain now with McCoy, they're not really saying how bad this might be. I know they said maybe he'll miss a week, but, you know, with these hamstring injuries, I mean, who really knows? So, yeah, that could work out in the Dolphins' favor this week. I mean, I'm not comfortable enough making that move, but it's not, I mean, those are some good stats you got there, so that could work.
Yeah. There's been conflicting reports before we wrap up the show on McCoy. I believe it was Josina Anderson from ESPN was reporting that not only is he going to miss this week, but he might miss a couple weeks after that as well. But then later in the day, we got a different report conflicting from one of the Bills beat writers that said LeSean McCoy is actually a game time decision for this week. The likely scenario that I see playing out is out this weekend, game time decision for next weekend, probably out next weekend, and back by the third week. That's at least how I would see it playing out, and expect them to be careful with pretty much the feature of their offense at this point.
Right. Well, yeah, he'll definitely be missing this week. I mean, I like how, as a 49er fan, he was good enough to torch my team last week.
Absolutely, yeah.
But listen, I still started him in DraftKings, you know. So, because just like how you have no problem giving it to the Dolphins, I have no problem giving it to the 49ers. So,
yeah. It's a sad life. That's why we play fantasy football.
Yeah, I say it all the time. If I didn't have fantasy football, I mean, what the hell would I do with life, you know? I would just have to sit there and watch the 49ers and just be sick to my stomach.
I was spoiled by the Heat for a while, you know. So at least that was good.
I'm actually a 49. I'm a 49er and a Met fan. So I, you know, yeah, I had a Super Bowl trophy in 1994 against the Chargers, and after that, whole lot of heartache. So
that stinks. All right, Mike. To wrap up the show, tell our listeners where they can follow you and where they can get your suggestions and information.
Well, you can follow me at Giancarlo H57, which is funny because I'm actually German-Irish. So, but yeah, you can follow me there. Check out the stardom suggestions at Eat Sleep Fantasy. I'll be starting to integrate some sit-ems as well into there as we probably next week I'm going to start doing those. And if you guys need a Thursday night preview, I mean, after this debacle tonight, but if you guys want a Thursday night preview next week, you can head on over to Gridiron Experts, and I'll have that there for you as well.
All right, man. Thank you so much. You can follow our show at EatSleepFF on Twitter. You can submit your questions on EatSleepFantasy.com. Actually, you can just straight in type EatSleepFantasy.com/questions now. So for Mike... and me, Christian, that's basically going to wrap it up for Eat Sleep Fantasy. Thanks so much for joining us, Mike, and have a good night.
No problem. Cheers.
I'm in my zone, no lie. And we like to play till the sun go down. Yeah, we like to play till the sun go down. And we take that town, and we take that town.